60 million colors. Bring some havoc in your head. Welcome to Titan Cash, your home for Sega Saturn news, commentary, personal stories, and more. My name's Samuel, the Southern Sega Gentleman. With me today, we have Brian, our West Coast correspondent at the Virtual Schlub, and the Portuguese sleeper, Nebuchadnezzar, otherwise known as Nuno. So we got a pretty good little bit of treats going on for you today, and we figured that before we get everything down to the nitty-gritty, we go ahead and get our little intro of sorts out of the way and talk about a little bit of news in the community. And with that, I'll hand it off to Brian and let him get a little bit of info up on you.
I guess I can start by talking about the weekly challenge, although I think this one we're going to extend a little bit beyond a week, and it is related to Winter Heat. The Saturn's, as far as I know, I think it's the only Olympic-themed winter game that it received, and it's a pretty awesome one. So so that challenge is going on, and Simon had posted it, so feel free to play that, and I'll probably contribute an entry or two later today on that as well. Additionally, Simon and I just dropped a video on the YouTubes that kind of goes over, it presents an Olympic-style broadcast. Given that the games are going on right now, we thought it would be kind of fun to showcase some of the... really the only reason that video exists is because I love the crashing animations in Winter Heat so much. And so we just built a story around it and went with it. And you can see Simon kind of audition for the sportscaster position, and I don't know, he wasn't very happy about it by the end of that video, but go ahead and watch that on the YouTubes if you'd like.
Tenfold. All right, boys and girls, well, it's all boys here today at least. Let's get up into some personal Saturn news. I know for myself personally, I most of y'all know I have a pretty decent Saturn library, but the vast majority of it's all disc only. Well, finally got a hold of old David Lee from Oshiro, and me and him got a little conversation started, and he found me a pretty good deal on a complete Gun Griffin, U.S. long box Gun Griffin, which I do not have the box. All I have is the game. I don't even have the manual. So I went ahead and got that and shipped to my house $28 after tax and everything else. And hopefully, whenever it gets here, it's some pretty good, decent, decent holdings on it, and we can go ahead and get a little picture going on, and I can have a complete in box version just like I did all them many years ago. Anyone else want to chime in on what they've got going on?
This is kind of tangentially Saturn related, not directly, but I recently picked up the Xbox or OG Xbox HDMI cable that Metal Jesus had featured it on his channel earlier this week. So I bought one of those off of Amazon. It's like super cheap, like $25. But I've been playing quite a bit of Panzer Dragoon Orta and the original Panzer Dragoon on that over the last couple of days. So that's looks pretty dang good on my HDTV.
What about you, Nino?
Yeah, sorry, Brian, but I haven't been playing any Saturn, or I just don't have any news about Saturn, really. I mean, this last week was incredibly busy. I barely had any time for anything, really, and just I couldn't get any gaming done or anything like that.
I got you.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, so on top of all that, we also have a recent Let's Plays. You know, most of y'all listening, hopefully already, have already started watching some of them Let's Plays we've been dropping on Sundays, our Sunday Fun Days. Well, by the time of this recording, you're going to find out that we had our first not Sunday Fun Day. In fact, we had Sunday Hell Day, because the community decided that they wanted to go ahead and incur upon me the demon, the devil, that is the Crow City of Angels. So, if you ain't seen that yet, go over there. We're going to try our best to rip it a new asshole. Besides that, we've also got our new Panzer Dragoon Saga Let's Play series. That's going on every other Thursday. It went last Thursday, so this week it won't happen. But next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, that is 9 p.m. Eastern Time for y'all folks who don't understand the time zones, but come join us out. We're doing a full playthrough of it. By no means are we going for 100%. We're just trying to enjoy it. And like I was talking about in the Let's Play last time, basically these things boil down to this. If you remember back to the 90s, whenever we were all kids, or even the 80s possibly, everybody sitting in each other's house, sitting in front of the TV, giving each other hell and trying to explain what you need to do. That's basically what we're trying to recreate. We're trying to get a little nostalgia going. So come join the comments section, get up in the action, and have a good time. So, anybody got some ideas on what we got going on video-wise for the YouTube channel coming up?
Well, I was working on a video about Panzer Dragoon, actually, but it's not Saga. It's the first Panzer Dragoon, and it was a complete coincidence with the anniversary of Saga. It wasn't related to that in any way. It's just an idea I got, and I started working on it, but some things came up in between, and right now it's on hold, so I'm sorry for hyping you up and not delivering soon, but it's something to hold out for in future, like that huge article about emulators that I keep promising and haven't delivered yet. So, yeah, that's just how I roll, baby.
The sleeper, Nuno, who sleeps.
Let's see. I don't know. I would apologize for adding the crow to the poll for this week's this Sunday or the next coming.
Yeah, you can go to hell, Brian.
Sunday with all those exclamation marks. But I think it worked. It worked out. So, looking forward to that, Sam.
You better pony up. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I'll join in. Yeah, I'll totally be there. So the other thing is, I was watching Die Hard, a couple weeks ago, and I felt a little inspired to maybe make a video that covers the Saturn Zone Die Hard arcade, and also maybe the Dreamcast's Dynamite Cop or Dynamite Deca 1 and 2, if you're in Japan, just kind of doing a grudge match style thing that we did in the way of, back when I did the, steep slope sliders and zap snowboarding video. So that, I don't know when I'll post that, but probably in the next couple weeks.
Cool deal, man. Cool deal. We, on my part, at least coming this Friday, we'll have a little bit of a mech action 2.0. So if you're all about some, giant mechal machines, if you're all about some giant metal machines giving hell to everything and destroying the world, you might want to check in on Friday and see what we got. On top of that, if you're a fan of old school gateway computers or MS-DOS or anything like that, like, you know, yours truly, we got a little bit of video in the works for that as well. Now, besides all that, let's go ahead and get into the real part of this podcast. I'm sure anybody who's already read the description probably has an idea of what's going on at this point. We have a nice little guest today. Hailing all the way from the world of YouTube, we have our special guest, Saturn Memories, who'll go by the name of Chris. Of course, we're not going to put his last name out there. All y'all people trying to get up in his inbox and trying to track him down, not helping you out, brother. Sorry about that. But I'll go ahead and let the man himself give you a little bit of introduction and tell you about who he is.
Yeah, I'm in witness protection, so we don't want that getting out there. Hey, folks. My name's Chris. I run Saturn Memories. Glad to be on the show.
Short and sweet, man. Man after my own heart. How about that?
Yeah, we're glad to have you.
Hey, we got time constraints here. I'm just trying to keep it moving along.
Time constraint. Man, we don't ever keep it going along. We just do what we do.
Oh, I ramble so much. Yeah.
It's all going in
futile.
There.
Futile.
All right. So let's go ahead and get to the questions at hand. You know, this is an interview of sorts, and it's not a traditional interview. We'll go ahead and pose some questions to old Chris over here. And after he's given a little bit of feedback on his part, we'll dissect them, we'll analyze them, and we'll try to break them down as best we can. I mean, it's basically a Russian gulag of sorts, right? So, Mr. Chris, when did you first get into the Saturn and collecting for it?
Well, the first time, I guess, would be back in 1995 when I was a kid. Probably like a lot of Saturn owners at the time, I started out as a dedicated Sega fan because I owned a Mega Drive, or rather for me, a Genesis. And yeah, I got my Genesis back in 91, probably had like 30 to 40 games, really enjoyed it. And then as I got into like late 94 into 95, I started seeing stuff in the magazines advertising Saturn. And I think the 32X at the time too, but you know, that was obvious that was an add-on, and the Saturn was Sega's new console, so wasn't so much interested in 32X, more interested in the Saturn. So yeah, I got a Saturn Christmas of 95, and had Virtual Fighter as the pack-in. I think that was the only game I had at the time, and my birthday's in February, so after that I got like Daytona, and I think Virtual Cop, along with a stunner. I think I got Bug that Christmas too. I mean, that for my birthday too. And the collection built up over time. It never got anywhere close to being as big as my Genesis collection at the time. But probably like a dozen and a half games. Really enjoyed them. And, you know, as I got older, I handed the console off to my siblings, and it ended up getting thrown down in the basement of my parents' place. When I started getting back into it, it was, I think, around like 2006. I was going to college and was working at a toy store, and I met this guy who was employed there too, and, you know, we got to be friends. And I went over to his house one day, and he was really big into video games, had a lot of different consoles, but he had a Saturn, and I was like, man, I kind of want to get back into this. We sat down, we played some games, and I was like, yeah, I need to get a Saturn again. But I tried to scavenge the Saturn that was down in my parents' basement, and of course it had flooded down there, and it was sitting in a box on the floor, so it wasn't any good, and all the discs that were down there were rotted. If you're wondering whether disc rot is a real thing or not, I can guarantee you it is. It'll eat right through it, and you can see out the other side of your disc for sure. It's real. So a couple weeks later, I was buying one on eBay, and I've never really looked back since. I've collected a crap load of imports over the years, and that's something that I didn't have as a kid. It was all U.S. games, and it really opened my eyes as to just how much truly excellent stuff never made it over here. I've got around 240 games at this point, so I've seen a lot of different cool stuff on the system, and I'm still collecting to this day. Not nearly as much as I was back then. It's gotten really expensive, but I still like to pick up games here and there.
Good deal, man. That sounds honestly like a lot of us. At least in regards to those of us who picked it up originally. You know, I picked it up in 97, had a decent collection of about 30 games by the time the mid-2000s came around. Hard times hit, bad decisions were made, sold off my entire collection with the exception of my SimCity. The only reason I didn't sell it was I didn't know where it was. But, I mean, I think most of us have very similar story, at least in regards to picking it back up years later. So let's go ahead and get into the next question. And this is something kind of fast-tracking a little bit, but, you know, what's your current gaming life consist of? Consoles, any particular games you're playing, things like that?
Mostly it's pretty much all Saturn for the most part. I have three different Saturns, a Japanese Model 1, a mainland Asia Model 2, you know, like it's a PAL version of the white consoles that you could get in Japan, and a Model 1 V Saturn. Of course, I got a lot of games for them. I think, like I mentioned earlier, I think it's like around 240 import games, and that's not even including duplicates. As far as other consoles go, I've had a couple others throughout the years, but the only one that I have left at this point is an Xbox 360. I got a retail version of that I had for several years, and just last year I picked up a RGH modded 360 so I could get a couple Xbox Live games that they no longer sell, stuff like Sega Rally Online and, you know, stuff like that. Oh, and what is it? Afterburner Climax, and a couple Japanese games that are, you know, kind of hard to get unless you can figure out how to set up a Xbox Live account through Japan and purchase, you know, the points and stuff like that. But I think that's it.
Another thing, this is something that Nuno really wanted to ask you about, and I think me and you had talked about it earlier, but, you know, when did you first hear about the Saturn junkyard, and what were your thoughts about us back then? Of course, I wasn't there. Nuno was back there, but, you know, I figured he wanted a little bit of loving in regards to that.
Well, you guys have been around, the blog anyway has been around since 2006, right?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Yeah, and that was right around the time when I started getting back into the Saturn, so, yeah, pretty much from the beginning, I think. Like, I wasn't there for the very first post, but, you know, I was aware of you guys and reading the articles as far back as then.
Got any thoughts, Nuno? Any questions?
Yeah, just what did you think about the blog in general?
Oh, it was an excellent resource back in the day. Like, I can remember you posting and Simon as Father K. I talked to Sam earlier about this, but for the longest time, you know, the only thing I really had to go off of was how I imagined you guys. Simon had a little seal of approval on the site that kind of looks like a little Bing Crosby cartoon, and that's kind of how I've always envisioned him. So to see, to see you guys on YouTube now doing these videos and see his face, it's kind of like shattered that little fantasy of mine.
Sorry, man. You know what they say about meeting your idols.
All right.
Well, yeah. So for our readers that are listening to this, the thing is, the first time I talked with Chris, I saw Saturn Memories as this huge YouTube channel. I have no idea who was behind it. I have no idea that you used to be a reader of the Junkyard. So yeah, for me, Saturn Memories was just this big YouTube channel that I really admire. I have been subscribed for a long time. I love your videos. I love your stuff. I actually mentioned to the other guys how I saw your videos as kind of an inspiration, at least in terms of a technical quality, not so much content, because we have our own content and you have yours, but in terms of presentation and overall production quality, I saw your videos as an inspiration.
Thank you.
No problem. So the first time I reached out to you, it was because you had, I think, retweeted one of our videos, or just gave us a shout out, like on a post on Facebook or something like that. I was like, man, I can't believe Saturn Memories is watching our stuff and is kind of making advertising our stuff. So I was like, hey, man, thank you so much. I'm a big fan. And you replied with something like, no, man, it's the other way around. I was already a big fan of the Saturn Junkyard. So it was, man, it really caught me off guard. I could have never have predicted that you were a reader from back in the day.
Yeah, both of us fangirling out over one another.
Jesus Christ. Oh, man. All right. So maybe that'll play a little bit into the next question. You know, what led you to make the decision to create your YouTube channel?
Well, let's see here. I think it was around like 2009 or so. I had already gotten back into collecting by that point. It'd been a couple years, and I was getting better and better at Nights into Dreams. I've been following, I don't know if you guys know who he is, but Knights Charlie. He used to run scoretac.net and nidscores.com. Anybody?
No.
Nah.
Nope.
Oh, well. But anyway, he had a bunch of videos up around the time, because on YouTube, Journey of Dreams had come out in like 2007, and he started posting videos of him playing that game. And he went back and played some of Knights too, and the original Knights on Saturn. And the guy is freaking phenomenal. I mean, I know people say that I'm good at it now from the videos that I've posted, but I'm not even in the same league as what Charlie was. And I learned all the in-depth score attack strategies that I know from watching his videos. And I thought, you know, I wasn't nearly as good back then as I am now, but I still wanted to, you know, show off what I could do at the time. So I got my Saturn and hooked it up to my DVD recorder and got my terrible, terrible footage. It was pretty bad. There were all kinds of interlacing issues, and it was blurry as hell, and it was bad, but I was happy with it. It was the first time I'd done anything like that with video before. I was just happy and I even got anything to work right. And, you know, I took it and edited it a little bit. That was the very first time I'd used any sort of editing software, and I uploaded it to my personal YouTube account, and I think it got maybe 40 views or something over its entire lifetime. But, you know, I thought it was pretty cool. And a couple days later, I started up the Saturn Memories account with the intent of making something more out of it. Well, that was 2009, and I didn't really start doing anything with it until like 2013. Life kind of just got in the way. I had a job that just didn't allow me the time to really do it, and you know how it is. So, but everything kind of, my whole life kind of got turned on its head around 2013. I'm not really going to go into specifics or anything, but I spent probably like a month feeling sorry for myself and then decided, you know what? Let's try to do something at least halfway productive. So I revisited the whole let's make YouTube videos idea, and I started out first doing a little bit of streaming with Twitch, but the intent was still always to go back to YouTube, and I eventually did it. Probably like within a month, I was cobbling together YouTube videos again, and that's pretty much how that went. And since then, I've been not necessarily going strong, but I've been keeping up a pretty steady pace, putting out content. At this point, it's like once a month, but when I first started, it was like once every week. I just can't keep up that pace anymore now.
No, we can most certainly understand that. I mean, with four guys on our channel, the Let's Plays and everything else, the varying content we have allows us to put out a pretty decent amount, but I mean, still, we're hard-pressed to put out one video a week between four guys that all have either full-time jobs or work in some kind of, you know, life at least. And me and Simon both have our families living with us, and Nuno as well. He's got responsibilities. I think Brian's the only bachelor we really have. So,
yo,
the bachelor has arrived. All right, so
bachelor schlub.
Jesus. So
bachelors represent.
So going from that, you know. What's your experience been, or at least your experience during your tenure as a YouTube creator, been like?
That's a good question. I mean, it feels really good when you finally get these things out, but then you're never satisfied either with how they turn out. It's a weird sort of mix of feelings. I don't know. I put a lot of time into these videos, and I thought I did when I first started out, but as it's gone on and on, the inner perfectionist in me is kind of grown louder and louder, I guess is the way I should put it. And, you know, between the time constraints, just real life and me trying to put out the perfect video every time, it's just the process it takes its toll. It takes a long time to get these videos out. I'm never satisfied with the end product, and you know, you keep turning them out, and there's a certain degree of fatigue, burnout that, you know, sets in over time. But, you know, it always goes away, and I still enjoy doing it, and I'm going to keep doing it until I physically can't do it anymore.
Well, that's good to know. At least your viewership's knowing that, you know, until you're sitting there up in the coffin, you'll be typing on the YouTubes. All right, so going forward, we got a pretty good question from Brian. You know, seeing as your channel functions in part as an archive of Saturn content, what do you perceive to be the greatest challenge towards retaining that information, and what steps do you believe would be best in preserving that archive going forward?
Well, I don't think YouTube's going anywhere for the foreseeable future, but I do still have everything backed up to a hard drive, so if it ever goes away, it can be re-uploaded somewhere else.
Yeah, and yeah, I guess to follow up on that, I mean, I think I'm a lot of this, I like to think in terms of just more conceptually. And so like when we talk about preservation of Saturn here, like on the community, a lot of times it's about like, how do you preserve the software and the tech side? And we've seen a lot of developments in the way of emulation and disk drive replacements and you know, restoring Netlink and all of that. But the other side, which is what really intrigues me about your channel, is just this preservation of the culture and the character of the Saturn circa, you know, the mid-90s. It's like a time capsule or a museum, so to speak. I mean, I guess I just was kind of curious how you approach your decisions for what kind of content you want to focus on or like how, you know, how, or if you have a general approach for how you go about that, because you'll have everything from just like game footage, playthroughs, or you know, I saw a couple of posts yesterday. I think you had like Sagata Sanshiro phone cards and Burning Rangers mouse pads and other relics and stuff. I think it's kind of really cool, and I was just kind of curious how you decide what you want to post up there.
Well, the theme in general is just mid-90s Sega, so, you know, anything like very late Mega Drive games from like 1994, model 2, model 3 hardware, anything that connects to it somehow. Like even though like Virtual Fighter was on model 1 and that came out, what, like 92, I think, was Virtual Fighter. It still had a Saturn port.
Right.
Yeah, I think 93, but I could be wrong.
I mean, I'm going to be doing the Panzer Dragoon series later this year. Orta came out, and it wasn't even on a Sega console. It was on the Xbox, but I'm still going to play it. It's still connected to a series that started life on the Saturn. So, like, anything that can at least tangentially be connected to, like, that whole mid-90s Sega apparatus, the arcade games, their home console, I mean, all that, I think, deserves to be preserved somehow, and I try to do it in a way that highlights the very best parts of the game, and everything you can possibly get out of it.
Yeah, well, it's fun to just, you know, peruse that whole body of work and be able to see kind of things as they existed in that period and really just get a feel for what the Saturn had to offer, just across all those things, even if it wasn't directly Saturn related.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, one thing that doesn't really get talked about a lot, at least not openly in the community, not very often, you know, is there any kind of, were there any particular situations or mistakes that you've learned from to make a better channel that, you know, you might want to share with the community? You know, there might be people listening in who have thoughts or aspirations about creating their own channel. I mean, ourselves, we make, you know, we're up and coming and trying to make a better channel.
Well, mistakes, man. Man, there's always mistakes. I've been doing this for 5 years and I'm still making mistakes, and it always takes me off when I find them, because then I think, oh, I need to go back and redo this video. I need to go back and redo that video. Oh man, just to pick out a few of them. Like I mentioned earlier, well, that I tend to work from emulators a lot. And, so a lot of the mistakes happen to be emulation related. Like, when I first started working on YouTube, which was around like mid-2013, they hadn't yet gone to 60 FPS footage, but I was still recording in 60 in hopes that, you know, in the future they might implement 60 FPS recordings and then retroactively apply that to the videos, which is absolutely what they ended up doing. So, you know, kudos to me on the foresight, I guess, but it didn't really matter, because what I was doing back then was I was running a lot of the emulators that I was using on default settings, which is a big no-no most of the time. So stuff like frame skip was enabled, so those videos were pretty choppy anyway. And and the 30 FPS frame rate helped mask that on YouTube. And now that, you know, they've been upgraded to 60, you can see all the choppiness that was there anyway. But yeah, that's just like one example of the many mistakes that I've made over the years and have tried to learn from. And hopefully going forward, I'll keep making fewer and fewer ones, but I'm sure that I'm always going to, you know, screw something up.
No, I completely understand that. Even in my short time making videos, and I'm sure Brian and Nuno can attest to this, you know, trying to learn how to edit videos, trying to go through that process, especially with the live streams. I mean, once you do the live streams, there is no taking it back. Once it's done, it's done. And, you know, trying to think back on it, there is countless times where I wish I could go back and I could do this or I could do that. In fact, you know, me and you were talking in reference to my Gun Griffin video, and you were, you know, giving me some helpful suggestions, which are always, always appreciated. And you were talking about, you know, the audio and everything, and sitting there in the back of my head, I couldn't make it work then. if I can make it work now, couldn't I just re-upload the video? Well, I don't really want to re-upload. And it's constantly an inner fight to some degree, because I'm very much like yourself. I try to be a perfectionist. So, but I appreciate the insight, brother.
Yeah, I mean, you can't dwell on it too much. I mean, you got to figure that someday, yeah, maybe you'll be able to go back to it. That's kind of how I think. But there's so much stuff to cover that you can't be constantly going back and trying to, you know, reshoot all the same games again and again and again, or else you're going to be doing that your entire time, and you're never going to be able to show people what other unique things are out there that you can play on the system.
I got you, man. I got you. So, past all that, you know, what plans do you have for your channel that you would like to share with the community, at least? What plans do you have going forward?
Well, on my end, and we'll talk a little bit about, you know, the other end of things here in a little while, but on my end, personally, in the immediate future here, I was able to procure a 4K monitor, so 4K recordings are now on the table. Finally, it's long overdue. As far as Saturn goes, it's not a huge deal. It'll help somewhat. 2160 vertical resolution. If you take 240, you can put 240 into that evenly, but you can't do that with 1080. So when you do it with 1080, if you want the picture to fill the entire vertical length of the screen, there's going to be some pixel distortion. But at 4K, since it goes into that evenly, there's not going to be any. So it'll help a little bit in that regard. Where it's really going to be nice, though, is with the arcade games that I put on my channel that I run through emulators and have upscaled. Obviously, I'm going to, you know, the games are going to be upscaled to 4K, and they're going to look really nice in that, and, you know, as far as that goes. But also, for games with a lot of high motion, there's going to be fewer instances of macro blocky on YouTube. YouTube only allows a certain bit rate for, depending on the resolution of your videos. So obviously you have less of a bit rate to work with a 1080 video, but up at 4K, you have I think you have like two times the bit rate to work with. So, with racing games, especially, you know, you're just going to notice fewer video artifacts.
Nuno, you got anything you want to chime in on that, since you're the resident emulating master?
No, man, not really.
Neb's blown away, man. He's just like, I got it. I'm taking notes. I'm taking notes on all of this.
I actually am, man. You're kidding, but I actually am.
I figured you were, man. I figured you were. This is as much an interview as it is us learning a little bit. So, you know, one thing that you spoke about recently, and I've been following it, I was never much of a fan of Saturnology, not because I didn't care for the guy, it's just I didn't know about him. But, you know, whenever you talked about his upcoming change, which I'll get to in 1 second, you know, I had to go and actually look at this. And, you know, just for all the viewership to know, we did try to extend an invite to Saturnology, but, you know, time constraints and everything else. So we wish him we wish him all the best, and hope going forward to see more out of him. And that kind of leads me to my question. You know, you and him have discussed, not terribly in depth, him more so, he's talked about it in some of his own videos, but y'all are merging channels, or at least Saturnology is joining the Saturn Memories YouTube channel. Well, do you have anything you'd like to talk about in reference to that, or what's going on?
Yeah, when I was speaking earlier and I said about my half of things, obviously David Lewis of Saturnology is now the other half of the channel, and he'll be adding the review component that I actually, that was kind of what I wanted to do when I started the channel. I just kind of fell into long plays, and long plays worked out so well that I never turned back. So I think I'll have a more complete channel with him on board. David does excellent work. He's been doing this longer than I have. I think he started a year before I started doing Saturn Memories, and nobody does better Saturn reviews out there than him. I've always been a big fan of his channel, and it's really good. I'm really glad to have him as a partner in this now.
And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to see that come out. You know, I thoroughly enjoy your channel. Like I said, I thoroughly enjoy his channel after now watching it. And I'm glad to see that he's not going, that he's actually, you know, gonna pony up with you. And this is a question, we hadn't really discussed it beforehand, but I figured it's a good topic to talk about, especially in regards to the merger with Saturnology and your length of time being with YouTube. But the recent changes to the YouTube Partner Program, do you have any opinions on that that you'd like to convey to the community at this time?
Well, that's kind of what sparked this merger, too. David had been monetizing through ScreenWave for years and years and years, and then they informed him suddenly that they were dropping him. And, you know, that really sucks for smaller creators. And I saw an opportunity to make something of a crappy situation. And, you know, he went for it, and I'm happy that he did, because I think together we're going to be able to grow together, to grow much bigger together. And for all the people out there who, you know, aren't as fortunate, it really sucks. But, and, you know, I hate to say it, but I have seen some positive effects. So YouTube does seem to be knowing what they're doing. Ad revenue has gone up, and I've only been monetizing for about 2.5 years now, but this is the best February I've ever had. Like, I've never made anywhere close to this amount of money. So it has been positive, but at the same time, I can't just say, you know, F everybody else, I got mine, because, you know, sometime down the road, they could turn around and just say, Google or YouTube or whoever, and just say that, you know, we're raising the bar again, and sorry, but you no longer qualify. This could come back to bite me in the ass. Right now, it's a good thing for me, but I can't just say that, you know, I got that I'm not affected by it in any way, because I could be in the future. So, you know, I'm not really. Oh man, how do I say this? It's not a good thing. I don't think it was right to take away the monetization rights from so many different people.
And you, I not to cut you off, but I mean, something that most of y'all have probably heard about the YouTube monetization. I mean, it doesn't affect the Saturn Junkyard's YouTube channel whatsoever. I mean, we're nowhere near monetization. We do this mostly for fun. I mean, if we ever did get the chance to monetize, we probably would. But at the same time, I mean, that's unless some kind of magic happens and, you know, we get some great video, it's probably not going to happen in the foreseeable future. But one thing, I did the math on it a couple of days ago, and you're talking about four, you know, take aside the 1,000 subscriber mark. We're talking about 4,000 hours of watch time in a 12-month period. You know, you might sit there and think to yourself, well, that's not that hard to do. Well, that means that somebody has to watch your videos for 77 hours every single week, and that's just the average. So if you're not getting 77 hours worth of viewership every single week, you're not going to be monetized. And just hitting that threshold by itself doesn't mean that you're going to garner a lot of money. I mean, if you look at most YouTube channels, at least the smaller ones, they don't make, you know, bukugles of money. It's normally just enough money to help them buy more video equipment or keep stuff going. So, I mean, that's something I think, you know, a lot of people in the community need to realize, is that this doesn't necessarily, just because you monetize doesn't mean you're going to start rolling in bank. I mean, yes, it's awesome to be paid for something that you love to do, but at the same time, I think a lot of people just starting off in the community have some wild ideas of what it means to be monetized.
Yeah, it's definitely not, for a channel like my size, I'm, 7,500 subscribers at this point, and yeah, I have it up right now. 2.6 million views in my lifetime. It still has not earned me very much cash. Like, I think my first year, I made a little under $600, and I made even less the next year, because ad rates, you know, have been going down on YouTube progressively for years. It's not a second job. It's not going to replace your full-time career. You know, the money just, like Sam was saying, the money just helps you buy new equipment, you know, things that you otherwise would have had to pay out of your own pocket from your, you know, it helps. It doesn't, it, it doesn't keep you afloat. It just helps you keep your little YouTube hobby going. And, you know, it sucks that these people are being denied that, because it just makes it 10 times harder to be on YouTube. It's not a career for the people who are being affected, though. It's, you're not taking food off the table. You're just making it hard for them to do what they love, and that still sucks.
One more question I'd like to ask in regards to this whole issue. I think it's a serious topic, and since you're our first YouTube, you know, channel that we're ever actually able to interview in sorts, you know, we have the, it's been going on for a couple of years now, but a number of people utilize Patreon, and I noticed that you did have a Patreon. Going forward, do you think that's still an outlook, or do you actually think that's a better outlook for smaller channels, especially, you know, smaller channels that have a dedicated fan base, say 100, 150 people who, you know, watch them every single time they drop a video? Because that's something I think a lot of people aren't thinking about as well, is that, you know, you don't have to just rely on YouTube monetization to be able to support the channel.
Yeah, the supplemental income from something like that can help, but you got to be able to produce something of value for them if you really want your Patreon to take off. And right now, the way I do things, I really can't do too much other than to put my Patreon subscribers' names in the credits, or if like another channel wants to advertise at the end of my videos, I can do that. But that's really the extent of it. If you're an artist or something, it's a lot easier to take advantage of Patreon. Or if you're able to do a lot of short produced videos or something like that, or even more off the cuff sort of stuff that you can give to your patrons, you know, behind the Patreon paywall where nobody else can see it, then you can do a little bit better. But for somebody like me who spends a lot of hours trying to, you know, craft the perfect 1.5 hour video most of the time, I think 90 minutes is about average on a lot of my videos, it doesn't really work out.
You know, Father K wasn't able to join us today. We had some technical difficulties across the pond, and we weren't able to get him in line with it. And he had one question he really wanted to talk to you about. And for those of y'all listening in, the next Titancast will be specifically about this topic. And while it be a touchy topic in regards to some of it, it's still a topic that needs to be discussed. So Father K's plans, for asking you at least, were: do you have any thoughts on future homebrew games and the emergence of a strong repro scene in the community?
Well, you and I were talking about this probably like a week or two ago. I was kind of surprised to even hear that there was a repro scene as far as Saturn goes, because there hadn't been for the longest time. The biggest obstacle to that was the fact that, you know, in order to reproduce discs for the Saturn, you needed to have the security ring so you could... So, you know, you could get your CD drive to say that, hey, this is a U.S. a North American disc, a European disc, a Japanese disc. Okay, it's good. You can play it. It didn't work like Dreamcast, where, you know, you could just, if you had the right model Dreamcast, you could pop a mill CD in and your Dreamcast would think it was an acceptable disc, or a console that didn't even have any copy protection, like the PC Engine. What's the CD add-on for that? I forget.
Yeah.
Or the Sega CD or something like that. You know, neither of those have any sort of copyright protection. You just you burn a disc or you press a disc or whatever, it'll work in that thing. So, you know, it caught me kind of off guard that there actually was anything. So I guess what they're doing is they're using like pseudo Saturn and stuff to bypass that copyright protection. And I don't know. Like, I don't think it's really worth investing in a repro if you have to go as far as to buy a piece of equipment to sort of, you know, get it to work on, you know, it just, you know, if it doesn't just work out of the box, that kind of defeats the point in buying something physical. You may as well just use your pseudo Saturn Kai to play burnt backups. That's kind of how I feel on that.
Yeah, I think a big aspect of this that's part of that's, you know, maybe driving the repro scene here a bit is the art piece of it. I mean, it's the idea that there are artists out there that are willing to put their own spin on recreating all of these packaging and the materials and all these things that are kind of shelf ready, I think is that's the term Sam, I think, used at one point. But have you seen any of that pop up recently?
Like I said, this is all kind of new for me, so I really haven't seen too many repros that have been out there. Like, I think Sam linked one for Police Knots that I took a look at. It wasn't too bad, but, you know, I still have that feeling that, you know, if it can't work with the console without doing something to the console itself, is it really worth having a disc for it? Because otherwise, it's just kind of it's just a shelf piece, and it's not even really an official, it's not an official one either.
Yeah, you know, and that's very much the truth. And I don't want to get too far up into this topic, because like I said earlier, the next podcast is going to be specifically in depth with the whole aspect of repros, the whole aspect of modifying your console to be able to utilize repros, the pros and cons to it, you know, legitimacy. We're going to really tackle this topic, and you're probably looking at an hour and a half of going in depth into something that most people might not even know otherwise.
I mean, I don't have anything against repros. Like, I think it's fine for something like the consoles I discussed earlier, like the Dreamcast and the PC Engine CD and, you know, stuff like that. It's just, again, I mean, if you can't get it to work out of the box with the console that it's designed for, then it's really no better than just burning it onto a CD, doing the swap trick, or using Pseudo Saturn or something like that, you know?
I got you. So, final question we're going to round everything out on is, what are your thoughts on the future of the Saturn and the community that's grown up around it?
Man, like when I, for the longest time, the Saturn didn't really get any respect. You know, the news, the games journalists really wouldn't talk about it at all. I mean, they'll bend over backwards to fillet Nintendo and their long storied history. But not so much Sega, you know, a little bit for the Genesis, a little bit for the Dreamcast. Some people have fond memories of that, but Saturn always kind of got lost in the mix. And, you know, I think YouTubers have done a lot to sort of elevate the system over the years. And unfortunately, what comes to that is much more expensive games were part of the problem, too. But yeah, a lot more people are interested in the console. The rising prices are definitely evidence of that. And, you know, around the 20th anniversary of the Saturn, there were some pretty nice retrospectives, even from some outlets that you wouldn't expect. You know, they wrote about, I think Forbes wrote a piece, US Gamer, some of the retro magazines wrote some pretty nice stuff. I can't remember what the name of that one mag. They wrote a really good article about it, and they even had interviewed some of the U.S. developers at the time, some of the guys from who worked on like Doom and stuff like that. It's a piece that's worth reading. But I think that was kind of the turning point, and we're starting to see the console starting. It's starting to get its due, and I really like that. And I hope over time it just continues to become more and more popular, because there was a lot of great games on the system, and between the PlayStation and the N64, it got lost in the mix. But there's just so much great stuff. A lot of it stayed in Japan, and I hate to use this term, but I guess in this case it's kind of true. It aged well. The Saturn was built first and foremost as a 2D powerhouse. The N64 wasn't. N64 games look terrible now. PlayStation can do 2D, but Saturn does it so much better. You know, there's the occasional port here where, you know, you could tell PlayStation was the main focus. I mean, Castlevania, for instance, In the Hunt, a couple more than a few, Lair Section 2. They're all games that play a lot better on PlayStation, but the Saturn has more than its fair share of really good 2D games that just look freaking excellent, and they still continue to look excellent. So, you know, more and more people are enjoying the console, and, you know, despite the prices and despite the fact that it's getting harder for me to buy the games, I'm happy. I'm happy it's getting its due.
Roger that, roger that. Well, I think that's going to finalize all the questions I have for you, at least. I figured I'd go ahead, and since it's been me and you talking for the most part, go ahead and give Nuno and Brian about, you know, 5 or 10 minutes to go ahead, and if they have anything else they want to talk about, they can go ahead and ask you directly to your face, or directly to your ears, I suppose. So we'll start off with Nuno and give you about 5 minutes time. Good, sir?
Thank you very much. Well, off the top of my head, I really don't have anything more to ask. I mean, I think we had already thought about the questions we wanted to ask. So I think you guys did a good job of going over that. So, I mean, I don't want to spend 5 minutes just gushing about your channel, but I really think Saturn Memories, I keep repeating this, but that's all I have to say. I mean, I think Saturn Memories really has a unique style. You produce unique content. You could say, well, it's just playthroughs. Okay, yes, but you do playthroughs of really weird games, like Japanese games that I had never heard of before, and I know a lot of Japanese games, so you really find stuff that I had no idea existed. And sometimes you do stuff about, well, you said this yourself, that sometimes you cover games that aren't Saturn games, that are on other consoles, but you think that they have some connection. For example, I clearly remember a time where you posted a lot of Daytona USA videos, like from the, correct me if I'm wrong, but from the Dreamcast version. And I don't know if it was from the, if you had videos from the PS3 and 360 versions as well, the ones on XBLA and stuff like that. You have so much cool stuff on your channel, and I think it's great. Okay, I'm just going to stop here because I'm running around in circles and I don't have anything more to say.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it. I try to pick a lot of different varied content, and I try to show the games off to the best of my ability. I'm not the best gamer in the world or anything, but I do try very hard to show as much of the things that I think people will want to see in the games, and I try to do my very best to give them quality gameplay. I think that's the big difference between my channel and a lot of the ones that came before it, is I strive very hard for excellent gameplay if I can manage it. So I practice these games a lot before I actually start recording them.
By the way, what's your favorite Saturn game, like, of all time?
Nights into Dreams. I don't even have to think about that, man.
Awesome,
Nights into
Dreams. Awesome.
Nights is my favorite game of all time, period. It's not just my favorite Saturn game. It's my favorite game, period.
All right. So, Brian, you got anything you want to specifically ask the man?
Yeah, actually, I guess, you know, kind of going beyond the game aspect of this a bit, a lot of the content you post, particularly on your Facebook page, and I kind of alluded to this earlier, you have kind of some random knickknacks and relics of the time. You know, it's almost a repository of just random shit. So, like, you know, which is awesome. I mean, I think it's so cool to see, like, the Sega Sanshiro, like, calling cards I mentioned, or that you had, you know, posted up, and then the just other random stuff, the Burning Rangers mouse pad or whatever. I was kind of curious, and also all the commercials and stuff, which were kind of insane at the time. But I was just really curious, of all the stuff that you remember coming across over the years, what do you think strikes you as, like, the most weirdest, oddest thing you've ever seen in that regard?
Oh man, there's a lot of different stuff. Like, specifically in, like, Sagata Sanchiro merchandise, they have a punching bag of him.
Whoa,
that's pretty cool. Would you dare to punch Sagata Sanchiro? I wouldn't.
Yeah, that's a punching bag that would punch back for sure.
Yeah.
I just think about that video that whatever they were that had Chuck Norris versus Sagata Sanshiro, and they literally end up in a black hole.
Oh, yeah, that was Screw Attack.
Yeah, dude, that was an awesome video.
Yeah, they actually used my footage, too, without asking, too.
Oh, man, you should have sued the ever-living hell out of them.
It worked out okay, because it drove a lot of traffic to my videos, so I didn't care. But, man, what other stuff that I've come across that was neat? Oh, yeah, they had, they've got what do they call them? Gaita, the old-style Japanese shoes. There's a Sagata Century Gaita that they had as merchandise too at one point.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah, they burned his signature into them too. It's kind of neat.
Do you have a pair?
I wish. I really do. I don't though.
Well, that's cool. I bet like if you see those pop up on eBay, they're probably a little expensive.
Yeah, I don't think something like that shows up on eBay very often. Your best bet for stuff like that, like Yahoo Japan auctions, every now and then, you know, you see some really neat stuff show up on them, but you got to go through a deputy service. And it's also a good way to save money on games, because there are Japanese sellers on eBay. Yeah. But they're going to gouge you. They always try to gouge you, take as much money as they can from you. The people who sell on Yahoo Auctions Japan, sometimes you'll find a game on there brand new and sealed that they're asking for on eBay for like $300. You can get it for like $30.
Oh, geez. Yeah, and I've noticed even common games, like they'll often just pad the shipping costs a bit for maybe the worst case scenario. So it's like if they're shipping to Seattle, just across the ocean, it's like, you know, I'll get the package and it'll be like, oh, it was like $5 to ship this. But, you know, in the listing, I probably paid like, you know, 15 just for, or they listed that as the shipping cost. So I don't know how they, what their markup algorithms are, but I guess they got to make their money somehow.
Well, they're out to nickel and dime you. It's more profitable to send all those games overseas to saps like us than it is to, you know, sell the Japanese public over there, the people who know how much those games are actually worth.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's the interesting thing too. I mean, like we're kind of talking about the barriers of just being a Saturn owner at the time and how nobody was really giving it much love, you know, during the heyday. You know, I think one of the big turning points was when people realized that that import market was really where so much of the cool, just so much of what made collecting for it rewarding. There are so many exclusive Japanese games out there and cheaper versions of, you know, like your Bomberman, Saturn Bombermans and House of the Deads and all those that are, you know, a lot cheaper to go with the Japanese route. And so that's like another thing you had to be clued in on to really get the most out of being a Saturn collector, it seemed.
Yeah, when I started collecting back in 2006, 2007, all those games that you're getting that cost like $30 today, they were like $1, $2, $3, $4, $5, brand new and sealed. Like, I got Death Crimson for $1 sealed.
Oh, wow.
That's a crazy expensive game now. I got so many deals back then. Shmups were expensive back then because the hardcore shmup community knew what those games were, and they would pay top dollar for them. And so, like, I'd see like Blast Wind, and it was $120, and I think, man, that's just so expensive. I could buy like, oh man, what's some of the stuff I was buying back then? I was buying like platformers and stuff like that. I could buy Shin Shinobi Den for like $5. I could buy Dynamite Deca for like $5. I could buy Virtual Cop for like $5, or I could spend $120 on Blast Wind. And now I look back on it and I see Blast Wind's like a $500, $600 game now. And I think I should have just ponied up for it back then.
Oh, for sure. I think every gamer has their woulda, coulda, or their, you know, their shouldas.
Yeah.
And certainly, you never forget that. Those regrets.
No, you got any last questions for old Chris?
Yeah, just a simple one. I asked you what was your favorite game. What about your least favorite game for the Saturn?
Oh, okay. Like I mentioned like Death Crimson earlier. That game's terrible, but it's like it's so bad it's good, that sort of game. but there are some Western released games that there's no redeeming value in those games whatsoever. And you guys mentioned you're playing Crow's City of Angels later on.
Play is a very nice way of describing it.
Yeah, that's one of those games that there's nothing good you can say about it. It's not, I won't say it's as incompetent as Death Crimson, but it's so stale and boring and just executed so poorly across the board that, you know, you can't even find any fun in it. So it's garbage.
I would
say The Crow is a very good candidate for one of the worst games on the system, if not the worst.
Dumpster fire. Extraordinary.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where all the crows hang out anyway, right?
Exactly, man. I mean, they got to be in their homestead. So with all that being said and done, brother, I really want to convey our thankfulness and our appreciation for you coming out. Myself, Brian Nuno, and Father K, who wasn't able to be here, we were really looking forward to you coming on board, and you have not in any way not lived up to what we expected. So I do have one last question for you, though.
Shoot.
What do you think of the Saturn Junkyards YouTube channel?
Hey, you guys are off to a good start. I'm not being insincere or anything. I think you guys are doing really well to start off with. I've commented on a couple of your videos. I know I commented on one of yours, Sam, and I think I commented on one of Brian's already too.
Well, I appreciate them. I truly do.
Yeah, I mean they're good, and I think in time you're going to keep getting better and better. And I hope you guys find all the success in the world.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that, man. So I guess with that all being said and done, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up with some formalities. Channel plugs, as always, you can find the Saturn Junkyard at thesaturnjunkyard.com. That will send you directly to our blog spot where we have all our nice articles written by Brian Nuno and Father K, as well as a couple of other special guests. I'm severely slacking on that part. Next, we have our YouTube channel. And since we have so many dedicated and loyal fans at this point, we were actually able to get our own custom URL. Thank you very much. So you can now find us at youtube.com/The Saturn Junkyard. As well, you can find us over on Facebook, facebook.com/The Saturn Junkyard. That will direct you to our page. From there, you can find our closed group. If you're not a member of the Saturn Junkyard's closed group already, go ahead and join up. Just make sure to answer all the questions. Besides all that, I also want to give a little shout out to a couple of people, including, most importantly, our brother Chris over here. You can find him over on Facebook, Saturn Memories. You can also find them on YouTube. Pretty easy to find. Just youtube.com/Saturn Memories, if I'm correct. Am I, Chris?
That's correct.
10-4, 10-4. Also, if you happen to like Saturn Memories, you happen to like ourselves, go over there and check out Saturnology while his channel is still up and about. And if you really like his content, check up with Saturn Memories after the fact. That way you can keep up with him. Also, we've got a whole bunch of love to give out to a whole bunch of other people, but we've been running out of time. So figured we go ahead and spin it out real quick. Shiro Podcast, go give them some love. Dreamcast, Dreampod Podcast, go give them some love. Anybody else I'm missing, boys and girls? I keep saying girls, but there's no girls in here.
Yeah, I think you got them all.
10-4.
For now, at least I can remember.
10-4, 10-4. All right, so for everybody here at the Saturn Junkyard Titancast, this is us signing off.